Welcome to the Australian Small Business Show. Join us, your hosts, Matt Hayway and Christy Lee Billett, small business owners just like you, as we bring our first-hand experiences to offer insights, advice and inspiration to help you build a successful small business. Each week we'll discuss one specific strategy, topic, resource or tip that's relevant for every small business, and we'll be inviting along some amazing special guests and friends in business to share their expertise with you. Whether you're starting out, scaling up, or a seasoned small business owner, the Australian Small Business Show is for you. Let's dive in. Hey there, welcome to this episode of the Australian Small Business Show. Matt, good to be with you.
Good to be with you too, Christy Lee.
We've got a special guest today, which is exciting. You're excited to have her here because you need to learn lots from her, don't you?
I certainly do. I could have used your help this morning, Kat, on a meeting that I completely busted.
So let's welcome Kat Mattson from Impactful Presenters to the show. Welcome, Kat.
It's so good to be here. And I'm sorry that my timing was off, Matt. It's actually unusual that my timing's off.
It would have been handy.
Well, this isn't a coaching call for Matt, so we will get Kat to share her expertise with us. But before we get into that, Kat, do you want to let everyone know a bit about you, what you do, and who you serve?
Yeah, thank you, Christy Lee. So, yep, I'm Kat, and my business is Impactful Presenters, where I work with small business owners and community leaders to help them speak with authority, authenticity, confidence, and impact so they can make their dent in the universe, to use that well-trodden phrase. I do this because my entire career has either been working with small businesses or working in the public sector as a public servant, but still working with small businesses. And one of the things that I see over and over and over again is that the businesses who do well are the ones who can effectively communicate. The ones who do not so well are still just as talented, just as skilled, just as good at their service or their product, but they can't get their story out. And then when I was in the public sector, even though I'm very good at articulating myself, I always have been, I was bumping into similar challenges, not being able to influence the change that I wanted to see in the public sector. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And so I just had to go back to, you know, first principles when it comes to speaking and influence. And then when I clocked that, I was like, oh, not everybody knows how to do this. We're actually not taught how to speak authoritatively or with an end in mind. And so that's why I started Impactful Presenters. And, you know, 200 odd students later, turns out there's a lot of people, not just Matt, who need to learn.
A lot of people do need help. I've worked in bigger businesses where the culture is to slow things down and they use that inability to communicate to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I talk about a lot actually with my public service clients is it is deliberate that the bureaucracy slows things down. You need that to be slow because you're paying ratepayer or taxpayer funds, and therefore you need to be able to influence over time if you want to make your impact. You can't just, you know, have one conversation and then go, oh, didn't work, I'm out. Like small business, really.
It's a bit like small business, absolutely. So one of the biggest challenges, I think, for a lot of small business owners is actually being able to articulate what they do, who they serve, what they're in business for, all of those things in an actually succinct way. I find when I meet people and they're in business and I say, what do you do? I'll either get some kind of rambly answer and we're suddenly digressing down a pathway that is totally irrelevant, or they maybe stumble over their words or just aren't sure. They maybe don't want to sell themselves. I think there's lots of reasons for it. But really our ability to quite succinctly sum up what we do and why we do it and who we help and all those things is a really powerful tool for small business owners, isn't it?
It really is. And I think the core reason why we struggle with it is because when we're a small business owner, we're everything, right? We're the bottle washer as well as the service deliverer. So when somebody asks that question, our mind immediately goes to answer it. And it's like, well, oh yeah, I'm a business owner, but today I was doing the books and tomorrow I'll be working with a client. And this morning I was stuffing up a client meeting, you know, like,
yeah.
So yeah, coming up with a way to meaningfully introduce yourself is important. And you said at the top of the call, Christy Lee, that perhaps this wasn't a coaching session for Matt, but maybe we could do this. Maybe
Maybe it
Matt
is.
likes a workshop. Yeah, maybe a
That'd be
workshop.
perfect. I've got another meeting tomorrow morning.
So you have, I guess, a framework that we're calling the Small Business Owner's Elevator Pitch, but you can call it whatever you like. It's like your intro framework. That is a way that business owners can introduce themselves that's really simple but powerful and allows, I think when you get a framework for things, because you don't have to think, immediately everything becomes easier. It's just like, oh, part A, part B, part C, and so on and so forth, and everything becomes easier. So tell us a bit more about this Small Business Owner's Elevator Pitch.
All right, so it's a three-part framework, and you're right, it could be the small business owner's elevator pitch. I call it "You Earn the Right." Other people call it a straight-out elevator pitch. It's not the elevator pitch, though, that needs to be delivered between floor, ground, between ground floor and sixth floor. I think that's roses. But the platform or the framework has three key parts. The first part is your name, and I know that sounds ridiculous. But when we're nervous or when we're put on the spot, just actually saying our name again
Absolutely. I
really
get
helps
that.
to ground. It also gives us ownership, like, because then you're about to launch into who you are and what you do. And so by connecting it first with, "Hey, I'm Kat, and this is what I do," it's like, "Oh, yeah, that's right, this is me." So the second part is what you do and a little bit about the why. And I do mean a little bit about the why. So if your title makes sense, then by all means, I'm the CEO of Impactful Presenters. But for most of us in small business, our title actually doesn't make sense. We use our title on our org chart, we use our title on our business cards, and unless our business name is Acme Construction, also it's kind of, so what does that mean? So instead, what I like to focus on is, well, what do you do? Who are you serving? All in the one sentence. And why do you do that? And how are you doing it? So you heard me at the top say, "Hey, I'm Kat. I'm the CEO of Impactful Presenters. And I work with small business owners and community leaders to help them speak with blah, 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 blah." So, Matt, who are you? And what do you do? Why do you do it?
Well, this is where I do a lot of things. That's the
This is the
problem.
problem.
So when I'm introducing myself, it's very dependent on where I am and what hat I've got on. So when I'm working as an accountant, it's Matt Hayway, CPA, and it's that perhaps is not what you just said in respect to using your designations, but in my industry, it kind of carries a little bit of, well, there's a bit of credibility here straight up. So outside of that, I'm finding it very difficult in my consulting business. I do have the imposter syndrome. So it's kind of like, I'm Matt Hayway, my business coach and my business advisor. So I don't really have that down exactly right. So
So who do you like working with? Who
small
are your
business owners.
and why do you like working with small business owners?
I like to see them move forward. I like to see them get out of their own way. In terms of and I've got a little niche in regards to what I do, and it's I'm wor I work with business owners that don't believe in marketing, they don't believe in sales, they think that they're a little bit old school in their thinking, but they know they've got to do something. So I just like to see them actually, and we have the conversation when I take on a new client. I say, "Look, I know you don't care about what we're doing here, but my goal is to make to show you results from what I can do for you." So there is a niche there. So yeah.
So your start, because there is a third part that I haven't spoken about yet, but your first two pizzas could be pieces, not pizzas. First two pieces could be, "Hey, I'm Matt, and I'm a chartered accountant as well as a business coach, business consultant, but actually, none of those titles really matter much at all. I love working with small business owners who really can't be stuffed with the whole marketing and sales BS, but they still want to move forward in their business."
Perfect. That sounds great. I mean, that really defines what I do for these business owners as well.
And it's in character with you, right? It's authentic. Like you saying straight up, "I work with the business owners who think that marketing and sales is BS." It's like I can almost feel the relief from your target clients. They're going,
Oh,
"Oh,
absolutely. And I can see it as well when I'm talking to them. Once we get past that uncomfortableness, because they don't know what to ask me, I kind of don't really know what they need because they're too scared to talk to me. And just saying, look, I think marketing is bullshit too, you know? So.
Love it. Love it. So then the third part of this framework of the business owner's elevator pitch is what I call brag bag stories. When I say what I call brag bag stories, it came from a book that I read 150 bazillion years ago called Brag, The Art of Tooting Your Own, The Art of Blowing Your Own Horn, The Art of Tooting Your Own Horn Without Blowing It. Had to get that right. So that's Brag, The Art of Tooting Your Own Horn Without Blowing It by an author called Peggy Klaus. And she talks about the importance of having these brag bag stories, the stories that demonstrate your credibility, not from a place of being a bit of a dick, not from a place of being pretentious, from a place of I've done this, like I've been there, done this. So it could be, for example, Matt, for you, it's a story of a client that you've recently helped. You know, for example, there's Bob the Builder, who I recently just helped. He really loves building great homes, but he's not that into the marketing. And so this is what I did for him. Or a brag bag story can also just be how you got into it. As a CPA, I kept talking to clients who had such awesome businesses, but their numbers were flatlining. Because they weren't getting in new clients and they kept getting to November going, how am I going to pay for Christmas?
Exactly. So that's really great advice. Thank you very much for that.
And I love that, Kat, the brag bag stories is something I know from working with you personally. You can have, and I'm terrible and I need to build out my brag bag, but you can have literally a bag of stories and pull out the one that is most relevant to that particular situation you find yourself in or the person you're talking to. And it's really powerful thinking about those stories because I find myself I'm not a natural storyteller. I really have to think about I'll give you data and statistics all day long, but stories, whole other ball game for me. So that ability to have some stories to say, this story is really relevant, I'm just going to pull that out of this bag right now, I think is such a powerful thing to have under your in your toolkit, basically.
And I think this is why that framework, your name, what you do and why you do it, and then a couple of stories is a really quick way of organizing your thoughts when you're confronted with that awkward handshake moment of, what do you do? And you can quickly go, oh, my name, what I do. And you'll see that in what I reflected back from that, I didn't even necessarily use a title. It was more, well, I help these people who. So it's just, oh, that's me.
And I think
That's
there's
me.
much more relevance to that because in, as you said, in small business, our title is basically a picture on the org chart and maybe something we might put on business cards if we still have them these days. But aside from that, it doesn't really ever explain what we do because we do so many different things. So not using that and using a who I help and what I help them with is actually far more relevant.
Totally. And your potential clients actually don't care what you do. Your potential clients care about how you can help them or help people that they know.
And
Yeah.
the
So
results that you
you're
give
helping
them,
the pilot. Sorry, Matt, say.
and the results that you get for them.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that framework of your name, what you do and why you do it, and then a couple of brag bag stories. Even if you're not a natural storyteller, like Christy Lee, you say you're not.
No,
We're actually
she is a
all,
great storyteller.
she's an epic storyteller. But we all have those memories. Let's not even call it a story. We all have those memories of how we've helped a client or how we've helped our favorite client. Or, you know, we're looking at this new person that we've just met, like, oh, I've worked with somebody just like you. So just thinking through in that way just helps to.
And as a business owner too, those things stick in your head because if you're in business for the right reason, then your wins are sitting right close by when you're having these conversations, I think.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. And one of the things that I find in working with my clients in the Impactful Presenters program is those stories, once you start training your mind to go looking for them and you start using them regularly in your introductions, you start seeing them everywhere. You know, like when I first workshop this with my clients, they're kind of like, oh, but I can't find any brag bag stories. And I'm like, well, you're thinking too hard because your brag bag stories literally started from, you know, preschool. I've got a story. One of my brag bag stories is how I have never been overly concerned with being embarrassed. So I've actually always been perfectly okay with getting up and making a fool of myself. It goes back to when I was three and my dad used to let me dance on the bar of the pub that he used to take me to.
Awesome.
I also contribute to some of my drinking challenges these days. But And I can then move forward into that in terms of, but just because I don't mind being embarrassed doesn't mean that I'm impactful. And so I've had to learn and I've had to finesse my skill set when it comes to actually landing messages. So your brag stories are every, like literally everywhere.
Yeah,
Interesting.
great. So can I ask a question in respect to the three parts, and you mentioned the handshake as being the starting point. Now that we don't do that as much, so we're not going to networking events and we're not seeing someone face to face, does that approach change? So do you need to approach a Zoom session differently than you would do if you are face to face with someone?
Such an awesome question, Matt. And yes, how we introduce ourselves has changed. And again, that's why I really like this elevator pitch framework, because it's a framework, not a script. So if you're introduced by someone else, you know, if Matt, if you have taken me along to a virtual meeting and you're introducing me, and if you've already given a bit of a spiel about impactful presenters, I might then say, thanks, Matt. As mentioned, my business is impactful presenters, and then I can launch straight into the kind of people that I love working with, or I can launch straight into a brag bag story. So it's not necessarily something that you do in order from an introduction perspective. But because you've got that framework of those three key parts, it's like, oh yeah, okay, what are the parts that I need to tick off?
Yeah, so part of that communication would be to ensure how you're entering that room, I suppose.
Oh yeah. I'm a big believer and a big advocate for, particularly when you're speaking or presenting in a, well, in a virtual room or in a real room, know how you're going to be introduced. And also know how you're going to be exited, as in, am I handing back to the MC? Am I handing back to the chair? Or am I closing the meeting? Because that completely changes how I wrap up and leave people with a
Yeah,
lasting.
I get that, because I've done presentations recently where I've had no idea how I'm being introduced and how I'm leaving, and they're your first impressions.
Absolutely. And they can leave you feeling a little bit rambly and wobbly because you're kind of sitting there going, oh, you're waiting for me to start? Oh. Oh.
And this is where this framework's so great, right? Because even if you don't know, you can just launch into this without having needed to prepare, because it's something you've got ready to go at all times, whatever the situation, you can pull the components out sort of as you need to.
I also find that as my clients get more settled with this framework, and in my model, we call it the earn the right, they'll find that they start then using different parts in different contexts. So like in the middle of a meeting, you know, they'll be sitting there having a debate or a discussion, and they go, oh, well, it actually reminds me of this time when, and they'll bring in a brag bag story, and then they can link it back to the who I am and why I do what I do.
Fantastic. Kat, this is an awesome framework. And if you're a small business owner listening, you can use this at a networking event, at a Zoom meeting where you're meeting someone new. You can use this in so many different areas of business. So I hope you find it valuable. Now, Kat, we'll put all of the links in today's show notes for where people can reach you. But where do you like people to reach out to you? What's your favorite platforms to spend time on? Or is your website the Holy Grail? Is that where they should head?
No, no, my website's not the Holy Grail, right? Because I'm not talking to anybody there. And in case you hadn't guessed, I'm a talker. So I like talking with people. So LinkedIn and Facebook are probably my two favorite social media platforms. I'm a little bit old school. So LinkedIn, you can find me at Kat Mattson, and Kat is with a C. Facebook, you can find me also at Kat Mattson, that you'll find the business page. You'll also find the Speaking with Confidence Facebook group, which is the group that accompanies the Speaking with Confidence podcast. And given you're listening to this, you're a podcast listener. So, you know, add that to the list.
Subscribe to that podcast. Absolutely. It's always filled with juicy tips and little nuggets of wisdom. So it's one of my favorites. It's on a
That's right.
regular listen for me.
I'm a LinkedIn fan too, as opposed to Christy, who's not a big LinkedIn fan.
You won't find me very often on LinkedIn.
It's funny. I mean, I one of my old podcasts was the Social Media for Small Business podcast. I feel like I've been in social media before social media was a thing. And we forget that LinkedIn actually started before Facebook.
Sure did.
Yeah, it's the OG, it's the original.
I get most of my work via LinkedIn.
I'm not quite, well, I get most of my corporate work from LinkedIn. I get most of my course enrollments from Facebook. It's really interesting.
Yeah, right. Cool.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Kat, thank you so much. We will absolutely have you back on the podcast. We really appreciate you joining us.
Yeah,
It's
thanks,
been a
Kat.
joy. Thanks, Matt. Thank you.